The High House, written by Jesse Greengrass and read by Mariam Abu-Hejle, Sam Newton and Camilla Rockley.
Sally. In the morning, I wake earlier than the others. I climb out of bed in my jumper and my socks, and I pull on my dressing gown, and after it my leggings and my boots. I go downstairs, and it's cold and dark and very quiet. My boots are beginning to go at the heels now, but I'm trying to get this last winter out of them. My jumper and my leggings are frayed at the cuffs, and my dressing gown is an old blanket with holes cut out for the arms, because dressing gowns are a thing that Francesca didn't think of. And although, between the three of us, we have a reasonable spread of skills, none of us can sew. In the kitchen, I check the fire in the range, put fresh wood on the embers and open up the vent until it burns. I pour the last of yesterday's well water into the kettle and set it to boil. Put dried mint leaves in a mug. Make tea. I would have had coffee once. I think this every morning. I think it, and then I think I can still catch the taste of it. But it's been so long that it could be the taste of anything I'm remembering. Milk, mustard, ham. They all bring back the same flood of saliva into my mouth and the same sad twist into my chest. Yesterday it rained and I didn't do up my coat properly. Water got into the collar and I spent the whole day damp. But today I can feel the chill of empty skies, and so I think it will be clear. Outside, beyond the window, past the orchard, the sky is still full dark, but soon it will start to pale. I open the doors a crack, and the air is fresh and cold, and it smells of salt. It'll be an hour or more before the others are up. Caro sleeps badly, and often goes into Paulie's room in the night, to lie on the mattress he keeps for her on the floor beside his bed. When he wakes, he will stay still so as not to disturb her. It is his own kind of peace, he says, to lie warm under the blankets in the dark with nothing to do. We take these small luxuries where we can, especially in the winter. You would think with so much space, with the house and the garden, and the copse and the heath, the dunes and the beach, and only ourselves, it would be easy to be alone. But we are not. We cling. Each of us knows at all times where the others are. In the same way that we always know what time it is, telling it from some combination of light and shadow and our bones, so that it is only now, when it's early, when Paulie and Caro are upstairs, asleep or still, and things have not quite begun, that I can feel as though I am by myself. I step out through the doors, into the garden, and around me silence spreads. I feel its emptiness. The air begins to lighten, and breath hangs. I go down through the orchard, through the arch, in the hedge, along the path and past the tide pool to where the river spreads. Freed now of its cuts and embankments, its holdings and constraints, to make its own slow way into the sea.